Good morning. Today is Tuesday, May the 30th. Joining us this morning, Fortuna City Manager. He's almost looking like one now, Mark Wheatley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
You feeling comfortable with the title?
I'm feeling comfortable with the title.
Good.
And yes, I'm growing into the position, yes, as they say.
Well, as long as you're not growing into the chair.
Yeah. Well, I think that comes along with the job.
Yeah. Keep flexible as much as you can.
That's right.
Oh, let's see. George Bernard Shaw. Let's shoot the moon here, okay? Our quote this morning, "Forget about likes and dislikes. They are of no consequence. Just do what must be done. This may not be happiness, but it is greatness."
Wise words.
A lot of them.
Yes.
But nice words. Yeah. Oh, boy. So has there been any clarification? Last time we talked, the marijuana stuff, and Fortuna was kind of trying to wrestle with that a little bit. Yes. Still yes, no. Where, if. Those types of things, and then what the county opted to do might be a good phrase.
Yeah, that's a word for it.
Yeah,
that is a word for
it. Well, it's a more pleasant verb than the one you're probably thinking of,
which has been used more than once.
Yeah, I would imagine. How is that kind of starting to work its way through a little bit?
Yeah, we've been responding to a number of projects that were on the docket with the county's program. You know, we have great issues with the ordinance as drafted right now. So over the past month, there's been a workshop, a release of a notice of preparation for their environmental document. We've participated with comments in that process. We attended the hearings. In fact, I would urge those that have comments on this topic to attend the Planning Commission meeting this Thursday night at 6. There's a workshop on this very topic.
You think you're going to get people showing up to your Planning Commission workshop of the Warrior game?
Not ours. The county.
Any of them.
You know, that's
tip off at 6.
The beauty of TiVo.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Listen to it and then watch the highlights.
There you go.
That's our
motto.
There you go.
So we're dealing with all of the projects that are coming along. We have a group of landowners up on Nelson Lane that are filed a lawsuit in response to a project up there. So,
Mark, are all these things avoidable if the process is done a little bit differently?
I think so, and I think the county needs to take a look at just how aggressively they've put this out there, because they've created a situation for conflict and problems. I've been taking a look at how some other counties have done this, and many of the other counties have built buffers around the local jurisdiction. So any of those cities, tribes, water districts within there, they put buffers of quarter mile to a mile around those just to avoid some of these exact things that we're talking about.
But Fortuna didn't get the benefit of that?
We did not. We have it up to the edge and on the shore and border of the city, and that is the problem. And it's coming from all sides.
KINS, News and Information Times 819. We'll be back with more from Mark Wheatley.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Wheatley. Mark, this concept of, and that's just as easy as it is, set aside the marijuana for a sec,
mm-hmm.
and just say land use.
Yeah.
Period, end of story, zoning. I mean, whatever Christmas wrapping paper we want to put on the concept.
Right.
It sounds to me as if there is my way, in my way. Thank you very much. So you guys have a local land use plan? Well, if the county ever passes theirs, that takes precedent. I've heard similar things that the state is doing, comparable. Could we be at a time when local, as much lip service as is given, is being run over from the feds, from the state, from the county, from all these various entities, and that what the Fortuna City Council wants in their town, well, you know, it's going to have to abide by state or federal or county, period, end of story. Could that be a possible scenario as this thing?
Yeah, I hate to envision in such a dysfunctional world out there because, you know, at its core, cities are the most functional unit, you know, of government. And I think that's been brought out and highlighted actually over the past year. You know, Congress can't agree on the time of day. Our state legislatures, you know, kind of crazy with the pocketbook, and you know, and it all comes downhill, and local governments then end up having to be the ones to deal with it and pay for it. And cities in particular, you know, are responsive, you know, to their citizenry. Unlike many other levels of government, you are directly accountable to your constituents, and you learn how to live within your resources and make those, you know, kinds of decisions that are best fit for the community. So this is about it is about local control. It's about local land use and, you know, being fair. I mean, quite frankly, you know, the whole game of planning and trying to be smart about looking down the road into the future and setting aside the right kinds of land use, you know, so that you have that room to grow as a city, as a community, for housing, you know, economic development, et cetera. And then to kind of throw that out the window and just say, hey, guess what? We're going to do this all the way up to your border now. That kind of changes the equation. And
yeah, the jurisdictional issues are huge. I'm as you're talking, I'm wondering, were these the similar arguments that were made in the 60s with Redwood National Park? And then with the onset of the Coastal Commission, and as they grew, and some of the, you know, other land use challenges that our areas had over the last 50 years, mm-hmm. It's the arguments and the concerns sound very familiar and very similar, and at the same time, the lack of public concern seems to be kind of the same blaseness, unless you happen to be that adjacent property owner.
Yeah.
Now it's hitting your home, your pocketbook, your family, but half a mile down the road, nah.
Yeah. It is. I mean, you know, part of the genesis on the coast was the privatization of, you know, blocking off areas of the coastline, and there was a right for people to get in the state of California. It's in the Constitution that everyone has a right to access down to the coast. But I think, you know, what we're seeing is like you could take out marijuana, you could put in, you know, what, construction of a, you know, coal plant, whatever. Is it a good idea for the county to say, yeah, go ahead and put it all the way up to the edge and lace all along the edge of that, because that's our jurisdictional boundary and that's our issue? I mean, we have concerns. A lot of the impacts that are going to come out of this are going to affect us as a city, and you know, level of service, public safety, roads, you know, visual blight, aesthetics, all those things.
Well, let's say they wanted to put a homeless facility in county property, but adjacent to the city, or site this or site of that. I mean, you're right. It's all interchangeable stuff.
Right.
But it seems like the focus is one side of the fence only, and not looking
exactly
at the other side of the fence.
And we're hopeful that that's what this, you know, new revised take a look at their environmental document is now to support their ordinance. They got ahead of themselves in putting this ordinance out there without the adequate, you know, backup documentation and analysis that they need to support it. I'm not saying that there's not room to be smart and to do this smart, but, you know, when you're basically leaving jurisdictions like the city of Fortuna no options, you know, we are definitely going to stand up and scream. And that's what we're doing right now.
Would it be as an aggressive position if it was a complementary instead of a non-complementary use? Let's say they were going to be putting in roses acres and acres of roses. Okay. And nobody has allergies to roses, let's say.
let's say.
So we don't have that. Same argument, same concerns, same approach?
I think if, you know, they had gone through a vetted, you know, program and done their analysis, you could make an argument. I don't think any kind of monolithic, you know, land use activity is a good fit, period. I think there needs to be a lot of interchange and a lot of diversity along there, especially given the terrain where all, you know, it just happens that the adjacency of the city of Fortuna lends itself to this problem, and that's unfortunately where we're at. So,
well, it'll be interesting to see as the old mill site gets developed in the middle of the city.
Right.
If the county has any concerns about that. Coming the other direction.
There you go.
It's kind of like the old Walmart issue. Yeah. And Target from...
Oh, yeah.
Boy, are we getting
Remember
old.
Those days.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Wheatley, City Manager for Fortuna. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Mark, with this discussion regarding the marijuana and the, I guess, the adjacency to the city,
mm-hmm.
Fortuna, I hate the phrase, but I know you will. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is Fortuna the only jurisdiction that says not in our town, not in our community?
No.
With the sale?
No. There's many cities up and down the state. And,
but the
and,
only
and
one here, in Humboldt County?
No, locally, Blue Lakes.
Blue Lake also?
Is also. I'm not sure if Trinidad has made that call yet, and Ferndale is looking at that. So, you know, and even Rio Del, which has a limited, but... You know, they decided to try and contain it on a particular industrial site. So,
for the growing,
yeah, within cultivation within the city limit.
What has been the community response?
I think it's, you know, mixed bag. I sat in on a meeting in Arcata. It was a community. They did a series of meetings with the business community, with the cannabis community, and then with the general public, and you know. You know, there's both sides there, but the way the rules work, it's kind of difficult to envision how this is all going to look. You know, you can't have cannabis and alcohol on the same site. You know, what about edibles? You know, there's the over 21 limitation. You know, is it we're going to have one side of the plaza be bars and the other side of the plaza be, you know, cannabis establishments, of which, you know, kids can't go in half of the, you know, or whatever. So there's a lot of moving pieces right now. And, you know, I think I get there's a lot of people out there that want to be entrepreneurial. They want to get in. They want to make money. And that's unfortunately the driver, I think. So
the regulatory, not even the cops, let's just say code. Is it going to be clear cut there even? Do you get a sense? I would hate to think it's going to take 19 or 20 years for this thing to be figured out once the recreational becomes legalized at the first of the year.
The county is not big on code compliance, period. And, you know, they are ramping up here to just, you know, I think they're dragging every planter off the street just to get the applications processed that are in the hopper now. You now couple that with, as this goes forward, the conditions of, you know, terms and conditions of, you know, the permits. Who's going to take care? Who's going to monitor that? Who's going to take a look at that? We've been looking at, you know, just some of the ones around us about, say, water use. You know, we're all concerned about water use in our region, and especially at critical times of year for listed fish. And, you know, some of those permits in there say they're going to use X amount of water, and they are, you know, if you just do the calculation, that their level of use is going to be far greater than that. So you're going to start having, hey, my well that I've relied on for 50 years for my family is now gone. It's not working, and I wonder why. And I'm afraid we're going to see a lot of that because there's been no comprehensive analysis. And again, that's where we go back to what are the cumulative impacts of all this, because no one's taken the time to put all those pieces side by side.
Well, and even just the guidelines, even though the state has declared that it's not a drought, those restrictions, the water restrictions are in play. You guys come in over usage, ding, 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 here come the extra fines and fees. And, well, I mean, those monies are going to the county, not to the city. I mean, this could spiral into really unknown territory.
Well, and not to mention that, you know, any kinds of law enforcement issues and the roads in and out of the community. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we could easily be left holding the bag and not seeing, you know, the compensation for those impacts, which is, you know, another part of that equation. The county's going to be collecting the revenue. I'm curious to see how they're going to share that.
Share is an interesting word.
It's an underutilized word. You're right. Yeah. Especially between levels of government.
Yeah. Has there been any discussion or any thoughts along those lines?
I don't think we've gotten that far, yeah, in that discussion.
Well, you know, you got 5 or 6 months.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Everybody's just seeing money signs right now, and we'll see how that plays out.
Yes, we will. KINS, News and Information Times, 840. We'll be back with more from Mark Wheatley.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:43. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Wheatley. Mark, I guess one of the things that is kind of a variable in the equation here is economic development. The state has taken a lot away. We're certainly in a challenging situation here with the water and some of the regulatory stuff that's in play now. Okay, the demand for timber is starting to come back, but you know, everybody agrees it's not coming back to the same extent that it was here. Mm-hmm. You guys aren't going to have the mill in town.
Right.
Okay. Marijuana has been positioned by a lot of people as the economic savior of our area. Have you looked at or heard anybody saying, if it's not, and it's a 3 or 4 year, and then it's gone, what happens with all the resources going this direction?
I don't think anyone has taken that holistic look at that, because you know, there's so many factors at play. You know, there's the federal unknown in terms of the legality issue, where that's at, the state's process, and where you know, the Adult Use Marijuana Act, and so, but this claim that we're going to become this, you know, cannabis, you know, tourism economy is hard for me to envision. I think there will be some subset of that, but I think the economics are going to be at play here, and it's, you know, if you see build out in other parts of the state, you know, it's simple supply and demand. You know, the market is only going to bear so much, and I think the profit margin is going to be taken out from under this, and then what? What are we left with? We've overbuilt in one direction for something that we banked on being this economic panacea that I don't, and it's just not a job generator, really. You know, and much of what I'm seeing is people from outside of our region coming in to take advantage of conditions and exploiting it, and where's that revenue going? Is that going to stay here, circulate locally, and we're going to see a lot of jobs being created out of that? Or
Well, kind of like the drug cartel.
Yeah, it's a lot that, like the drug cartel. That influence,
except it's taxed at the first level. Okay, and maybe the permits, and there's a couple of bucks there, but, you know, we both were here when the mills were shutting down,
mm-hmm.
and we had a whole bunch of empty mills all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the scenario that I see with this, as everybody's getting excited, and looking long-term, it can't be sustainable because you're not expanding the market. I mean, the demand is going to stay what the demand is because it's legal, what, 2, 3% more, maybe?
Yeah.
And that's all she wrote.
Yeah.
So what does our area look like? Are any of the economic advisors that you guys use or the consultants that you use or the studies that you hear about, are any of them going in that direction and saying, time out, let's really look at this thing with a dispassionate perspective?
No. I'd say, you know, part of the problem has been that the, you know, sort of the development of the medical world, you know, as it evolved, you know, came forward and it had its own set of regulatory, you know, hurdles in place. And then we sort of jumped way ahead, you know, to the adult use, you know, for legal recreational. So that created this sort of dual regulatory, you know, hurdle that we're in the midst of right now. And so there's not been a chance to kind of step back and see what is the big picture economics at play here. And I think we're underestimating, you know, where this could go in other parts of the state. You know, much of Southern California is about not having dispensaries and grow houses and some of the problems, you know, we've seen and had in the past. But there's also interest in production. You know, yes, we have water, but there's only so
there's
much
a thing
water.
Called hydroponics.
Yes.
That all of a sudden, you know, if you're out in the desert and you get 7 or 8 grow cycles and you're recycling your water over and over and
right.
it's usable, and I think there's enough big money down there that might come into play.
You know, we've not been, you know, efficient water users in our region, but other parts of the state, they've been living with that a lot longer.
Well, it's interesting. Remember, you signed up for this.
Yes. Well, there's plenty of other great things going on in Fortuna.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one next week.
Okay.
Or pardon me, next month, huh?
Okay.
All righty, man.
That sounds good.
Thanks for coming by, Mark.
Okay, you bet.
See everybody tomorrow.